Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
All right, guys, we are the church that has a lot of fun. And if this is your first Sunday here, we're ugly every Sunday. So we're happy that you're here with us and worshiping with us. I thought the roof was going to lift off during glow. And you guys just sang great. You know, our neighbors can hear the thumping of the drums, but today I think they could hear your voices singing as well. So thank you guys for singing and worshiping this morning. I do want to tell you, hey, there's more of that where that came from. And where did my flyer children go? Oh, they're already doing it. Good job. You need to make sure you get, we are passing out Christmas Eve cards. These are invite cards. You need more than one, okay? So there's more at the back table. Can you girls put, when you're done, put those at the back table so that there's plenty, okay? We want to fill this place. We have three service options. Here's how we do this, okay? We have three different service options, and we don't know, this is the first time ever doing Christmas Eve in the building. We don't know how we're gonna fit or if we're gonna fit or if we're gonna have tons of space, we don't know. But this is why we do the different services. So that when you invite your friend that you've been inviting for the last 3 years and they finally say, oh, it's Christmas. Everybody goes to church at Christmas, right? And they do. Then whatever service they wanna go to, come to that one. Because the most important thing, like, is introducing them to Jesus, okay? Like, that's why we're here. And let me, a little pastor secret, people go to church on Christmas and Easter a lot. It's easier this week than ever before to invite somebody to church. Now, some of you, you're gonna invite more than one friend, and this friend's gonna say, yeah, I'd like to go to the 9 a.m. service and get it out of the way, right? Amen. Some of you are like that, right? And then some of you are like, I want to sleep in and go to 10:30. No, and then there's some that they're not even going to be awake before noon. I'm going to go to 6:30. Like, if you get a friend for each of those, get your butt here and sit next to them for every service that you have a friend coming to. We want to make them feel loved. We want to make them feel welcome. They don't want to just sit with me or, you know, someone else here they don't know. They want to sit with somebody they know. It takes the edge off, okay? It takes the edge off of coming to a new place, a new place of worship. So, guys, take that seriously. Also, we want to thank, the worship team did an awesome job this morning. Great job. God has blessed us so greatly. We still miss Pastor Ron, our worship leader, who is out because he and his wife are home with their brand new baby girl, Oswin. Dude, I'm not going up here another week without a cute baby photo. Somebody in tech needs to get a cute baby photo up there, even if it's in the middle of the sermon, because she is adorable. And I can't wait for all you guys to meet her. We're praising God for that baby. After Ron and April have been through so much and to get to see, you know, God's answer. You know, we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. God, give these people a baby. And here she is. So, Lord, we lift up Ron and April right now. We pray your blessing over them. But right now, as we transition to hearing from your word, I pray that you would break our hearts open, that we'd be ready to hear from you. I pray you'd pause all the distractions, silence our phones. May they not ring. But, Father, I pray that we'd pick up when you call. I pray that we'd be ready to move forward when you say, hey, we're done here. Move forward, take that next step. So Jesus, I just pray that you would move in the hearts of people here this morning, amen. Now we started this series, Missing Peace. We started this series by telling you what you want may not be what you really want. We talked about how this time of year we try to find peace in a lot of places. You know, in candy canes and decorations and sugar plums and all the goodies, right? And we try to find it in Christmas lights and Christmas specials. I love Christmas specials. Like, I could watch Christmas movies all day, every day, you know, till Christmas. Anyone else? Some of you are like, I'm done with Christmas movies, okay? But I love that, and it gives you kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling, right? But that's actually not what we're looking for. It may give us a little warm, fuzzy feeling at the end of the movie, but then life returns. What we're really looking for, I'm gonna tell you what you really want. What you want, what you really, really want is peace. You're gonna get it by next week when I tell that intro to the sermon. You're gonna finally get it. What we really want is peace. What the world wants, what the world needs is peace. So week one, we talked about peace being possible, and the battle begins in our mind. It begins in the battlefield of our mind. We cannot have peace until we think peace, until we put our trust in God and allow him to renew our mind. Week two, just last week, we can have peace in the midst of stupid people. Just, I'm paraphrasing that sermon. Go back and listen. I was politer last week. More polite. But this piece invites us to live in harmony with people despite our unique differences. And remember, this peace that we're talking about is not a peace that's found in the absence of problems, but in the presence of God. That's the kind of peace that Jesus brings. That's the kind of peace that you really want and need. How many of you are good at waiting? Anyone good at waiting? You just love yourself a good waiting period. Anyone? There's a little girl right here. Where's Nikki? Nikki, Juliet, when it's Christmas morning, she says she's good at waiting. When it's Christmas, just let her open her gifts after everybody else has finished them all. Let the dogs open their gifts first, because she says she's good at waiting, right? No, all right. Just trying, Juliet. So I'm not good at waiting. I don't like it. And there's nothing that seems to rob my peace more than waiting. There should be no reason, right? Nothing's actually happening usually when we're waiting. There's nothing actively stealing our peace other than my dysfunction that wants to keep going at full speed despite the fact that we are stopped. Now, have you ever been to the Melbourne Square where the little boutique is by it's got like, it's teeny tiny, it's the size of my walk-in closet. It's got maybe 7 dresses in it by the food court. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know the name of that place. What is it? Francesca, I don't know, is it? Okay, thank you, honey. And I'm so glad that you're here to hear this. I don't know where they go in there because it's not that big. But they go in and it's got all these angles for women to hide behind. Okay, like that's my theory. They built the place to hide from men, from the husbands. Because we went to the mall just a couple weeks ago and all the girls wanted us to go with them. So we're like, oh yeah. We took the bait. So we go to the mall and that was one of the first things. I got my coffee and then we go to that store, Francesca's. Yeah. You like that store? Okay, so then I'm waiting. And then I'm still waiting. And I first couple minutes I got my coffee. I'm cool. I'm sipping on my espresso. After a few minutes, maybe like minute 20, I joined the old men in the circle of chairs that is strategically placed outside that store because it is a gathering place for those of us who are done waiting. And we thought it was just gonna be a quick, you know, it was a small store. How long could you possibly spend in there? I don't know whether there's like a gateway, a wardrobe to Narnia in there, and they just kind of go into the snowy, you know, I don't know what's going on in there, but I think Aslan came before my girls came back out, and we're just like, how long? And then they come out, and finally, and I make those comments, right, because my wife wasn't there that day, I can make those comments. Finally, we were only there for 2 minutes, is what they say. It was like 45 people. I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating, just a little, maybe. But, you know, we hate waiting. Like when you called a doctor or to get technical support and they said, would you like us to call you back? Not stand on hold. I'm like, I love that. That's awesome. The whole time is like an hour and a half, but we could call you back. Awesome, cool. They call you back, ring, ring, ring. You answer the phone. Please hold, you're fourth in line. No. I hit the button and you're supposed to call me like when we're ready and you still get to wait, right? And then when you're going on a flight, and they say, we're now boarding. No, they're not. Nope. They want you idiots to line up. And they're not even opening the door yet. They say, it's time. No, it's time to wait. Just changing places of where you're waiting from the comfy chair to standing in line with everybody 2 inches apart. And then my personal favorite is when you get the text message that your table is finally ready, right? Because Christmas, oh my goodness, you have to wait on a table quite a while. And your table's finally ready. You come up to the hostess and she says, can you have a seat right there? Your table will be ready in just a minute. Excuse me, I got a text message saying my table is ready right now. Okay, nobody else does that? I didn't say that, I was just thinking it was in my head, and hopefully she's not watching this online, the hostess, but like this is the world we live in. So if we can't learn to have peace while we're waiting with real world problems, there's no way we will have peace when God says, can you sit right down there for a minute? I'll be right with you. I'm working on you. I'm working on your blessing. Can you just sit down for just a minute and wait? I don't like waiting on God. Because when I'm waiting on God, there's usually a really good reason. I'm waiting on healing. I'm waiting on restoration. I'm waiting on somebody to stop being an idiot. Not parents. That was not parenting related, maybe a little. I'm waiting for somebody to say, hey, I'm finally ready to follow Jesus. Like, I'm waiting for good reasons. So God, why are you delaying? Why are you making the suffering continue? Because I don't understand the strategy here. Does God even care when we're waiting? These are the questions we ask. Does God even care? And sometimes it feels like, is he even there? Is he even present? I'm just gonna tell you right up front. I felt like yesterday God was telling me to make it really clear that this would be a sermon that I'm gonna invite you to respond to. And I appreciate the verbal responses of you saying amen and whatever, because we all hate waiting, especially waiting on God. But I want you to actually respond in a way that's gonna change you from here on out. I don't want you to go out of here and go, that was good. Yeah, I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna live better. Now I want you to meet with God right here. I don't want you to run off to the next holiday thing before stopping and giving God a moment to speak to you and to move in you even when it feels like he's not there. So I'm giving you that warning up front. Prepare yourself, because I don't want you to waste this opportunity. So when God promises, like he did in the Old Testament, it wasn't very long into the human race where we screwed it all up. Adam and Eve, you know the story. 3 chapters is all we got before the curse came. Really 2. We get to chapter 3 and we get the first promise of Jesus. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 talks about how the seed of a woman will crush the head of the serpent. The seed of a woman will crush the head of it. And if you know the story of Adam and Eve, the serpent is who? the seed of a woman will crush Satan. And so people have been waiting for Jesus since the beginning. In the beginning, God promised, and people waited. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. I want you to follow along. If you brought a Bible with you, that's cool. Follow along there. If you didn't, install right now is a good time. Install the YouVersion, YOUVersion Bible app and follow along. That way you can pick up where we left off even later today when the Lord starts working on you even after this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David. That's Joseph, right? Husband of Mary, but not husband yet. The angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the message, to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means, church, God with us. How long exactly did God's people have to wait from the promise to the blessing? A long time. In fact, from the promise to a further declaration of the promise to Isaiah, it was 700 years. Centuries later go by before Isaiah 7:14. It'll be on the screen. All right then. "The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means 700 years between the two here, between Matthew and Isaiah, or Isaiah and Matthew, if you want to go in chronological order. Since the beginning, God promised. People waited. Can you relate? God made a promise, and the people waited. So what is God doing when we are waiting? What is God doing when we're waiting, especially for those things that, I mean, we really feel God ought to move on? What is he doing when it feels like he's doing nothing? Point number two is, God is working while you are waiting. During this intertestamental period, 400 years between the end of the Old Testament, the last author pens the Old Testament, and the beginning of the New Testament, is called the intertestamental period. And 400 years of no prophets, of no scripture being written, it feels like God is silent during this time. There's only one thing worse than waiting, and that's waiting and feeling like you're not making any progress. Have you been there? We get a Walmart order almost every Sunday after church. We go and we pick it up, and apparently that's a very popular time to go get your groceries. So if you could please move your pickup time to another day so that we can have priority, that would be great. Well, most of the time, those people are fantastic. Those are the nicest Walmart people that I've ever met. They always come to the window and say hello, and they don't really know how to pick produce very well, but that's another topic. But they're so sweet and so nice, and they're working hard. And I love, you know, when we pull up and we end up sitting there 15, 20 minutes, I see movement happening. There's carts going to and from cars, and the cars are coming and going, and you can see movement, right? You can hear them interacting with the customers, and you can see there is movement. And I know when there's movement, my turn is coming, right? But there was a time, I think last week or week before, a couple weeks ago, last time it was last week. And I'm sitting there, and I've been there 15 minutes, but I'm not seeing anybody move. I don't see any cart come out. I don't see any blue apron. I don't see any blue trolley. I don't see anything happening. And then people start coming out, and I'm like, hey, I was served before. I was here before. You ever do that? I was, you know, when someone ahead of you gets the table first, you know? And it isn't because it was smoking, okay, because we don't do that anymore, right? But we get a little kind of chip on our shoulder. I was here first. I shouldn't have to wait. And during this intertestamental period, there was not a lot of evidence of God moving and coming and going and moving. And there wasn't this evidence like, hey, we're getting closer. You know, it's almost our turn, right? There wasn't that evidence, that obvious evidence. And just because God is not speaking does not mean that God is not moving. Just because God is silent does not mean that God is distant. Is there a cute photo? Okay. I told you guys. Where's that's the best one we got. The face, are we trying to protect her identity? Oh my word, okay. That's an issue. We can't even continue until this loads. You guys have no idea what this child looks like yet, and you're clapping? It could be really ugly. Okay, yes. While you are working, got it. That was a good time to put that back up there. Cute. Can you bring it back when she's finished loading? You know, we are tired of waiting on the cute baby. Now I've already seen the photos. If you want to see them on my phone, you can hit me up after the service. All right. So just because God is silent does not mean God is distant. Just because God is silent does not mean he's not moving. And can I just say, God isn't like me. I don't know about you, I like to talk. You hear that pregnant silence right there? Ugh, it's the worst thing for me. Because I got words to fill that. They may not be good words, but I will fill it. Usually when I speak and I shouldn't, I really shouldn't. Sometimes I say things just because they came to mind. Or maybe not the mind. They just right out, you know? No processing. God does not feel he has to fill all the empty space with words. God may already have told you what you need to hear. He's waiting for you to listen. And so God, you know, he has, the whole Old Testament has been spoken. He's not silent. We can go back and we can read what he's saying. When you're waiting, God is working. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Can we read this together? But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy, did I lose y'all? Did it go to a new? All right, y'all wake up in the back there. Stop looking at baby photos. Let's try this again. 3, 2, 1. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy our freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. That's a great verse. But when the right time came, can you say, the right time came. The right time came. I want the right time to come. I want it to be the right time. And do you know what my right time is? Right now. My right time is always right now, unless it's hard work or something, something I don't want to do, right? Then it's, I just want to wait on that, you know? Like when we're asking for volunteers, you know, I just need to wait for some things to come together, right? The right time. I love how there's a right time for a lot of things, but we don't want to give God the opportunity to say, this is the right time. As though he doesn't know how the recipe of our life comes together and when things are finally baked. The right time. I want to give you a Greek word, and it's pleroma, everyone. It's actually two words, pleroma and then chronos. And chronos, as you can imagine, is related to time. It was just the right time. Pleroma is that just the right time. Now, I'm going to read the literal translation is pleroma is like filling. It's an idiom to refer to ripeness. Like, hey, the grapes are ripe. Or when Publix picks them, they're overripe, okay? That's not pleroma. But when you got, it's also, I want to point to an idiom. It's an idiom for when a woman is fully pregnant, right? We're getting a little past G-rated here. You know, when you come home from the OBGYN and she or he says, your cervix is ripe. The what? Right? All right, but they say that. Right? They say that. It's what that means is it's ready for the baby to come. Ready. Ready or not. The baby is coming. So it is an idiom to say, hey, this is like fully pregnant. When the time had become fully pregnant. And then we go back to, wait a minute. In Genesis chapter 3, the first promise of the Savior says the seed of a woman will crush the head of Satan. And then we use the euphemism to talk about time being pregnant, fully due, and ready for the promise to be delivered. How many of you are ready for that time? Three people. God, just keep them waiting. Just put them in line. Call them back and say you're fourth in line. So I want to talk about what God might be doing, what God was doing in the 400 years that were intertestamental, the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. First of all, so quick history. Do not tune me out, okay? Pay attention because it's going to make sense. 400 years of history. First thing and most important thing is Alexander the Great conquers the world, right? Short guy. Big aspirations, conquers the whole world. Awesome. So now there's one world power. Okay, then the old known world. Okay, then the Old Testament is translated into Greek called the Septuagint, right? So you got the Greeks kind of taken over, and now there's a common language. It's translated into, the Bible's translated into. And then an emerging of a philosophical movement happened called the Socratic method, which encouraged people asking questions. Think differently, ask questions. And then as things continued, the Romans conquered the Greeks because Alex couldn't stay in power forever. They conquered the Greeks and came up with Roman roads and like an interstate of highways that kind of connected the entire empire. And then finally was the diaspora, the Romans coming into power. The Jews were expelled from their town, Jerusalem, and they were sprinkled throughout the entire Roman Empire. So if you're in a holding pattern, God might be doing something. Because for the first time in history during that time, there is a Bible written in a language that's common to most people. There is a roadway which creates a way for people to share the gospel of Jesus. There's a common language to talk about the gospel of Jesus. And there are people that have been scattered, Jews who've been waiting for this for just the right time, who've been scattered all over the place, who are ready to start talking about the Messiah. Because the time has come, the right time has come. So if you're waiting, you're in good company because Abraham waited, right, for Sarah to finally have a baby. Joseph waited 13 years in prison until finally becoming the ruler of Egypt. The woman with the issue of blood was that way for 12 years. God, why? The man who was healed, the man who couldn't walk but was healed was that way for 38 years. So if you're waiting on God, remember, he is working. So maybe it's not ready. While you're waiting, God is working. But I wanna hit you with this one. If you're waiting, God might be waiting on you. God might be waiting. You're just kind of waiting for God to move, but God is actually saying, when are you gonna move? While you're waiting, you're not ready. Isaiah chapter 64, 4 says, for since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. God is the God who works for those who wait on him. Faith in its very definition in Hebrews 11 is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, the things you can't see. Faith in its very essence requires waiting. Waiting on things we cannot see, waiting on things we cannot make sense of. God works for those who wait for him. God promises, God moves, and he waits for you to move. And finally, God delivers on his promise, and you move forward together. I don't know, I said, you know, felt like God was saying somebody, you know, at least one person. We had someone decide to follow Jesus in first service, but I don't know who God said, hey, today's your day. Today's your day to say, God, you've been waiting on me. I've been hollering to heaven, and God from heaven is hollering back down saying, yeah, I'm ready for you. Just because God is silent does not mean that he is distant. When you are waiting, God is working. Feels like he's distant, but he's working. He loves you. He has a plan for you. His timing is always perfect. Second Peter 3:9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. You know, at Walmart, several more weeks ago, I was sitting there and I was waiting, and I was getting a little irritated because I was there a while and people were coming and going, but they were going to other cars, not mine. And then someone came to the window, I'm like, finally, you got my groceries. And he says, who are you? I forgot to check in. I forgot to do my part and say, hey, I'm here. So you may be coming to Jesus over and over like, hey, Jesus, could you please take care of this? And Jesus is like, are you gonna check in? Are you ready to be, you're ready to let me know that you're here and you're ready for what I'm about to give you? Are you ready for the delivery? Are you ready for the deliverance? You've been waiting on God, but I want you to realize God's been waiting on you. You've been waiting on just the right moment. I know, like when you come from, hey, I'm not following Jesus to, all right, I'm gonna follow Jesus. You're waiting for like this moment to happen where everything lines up and you finally get your crap together and everything's perfect and you're just never gonna do bad things again, right? You're ready. You're waiting for that moment. That's not how Jesus loved and saved you. Jesus saved you in the midst of all your crap. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, when we were utterly helpless, not when you finally got your act together and came to church regularly, when you finally stopped your bad habits, when you finally stopped having temptations. No, when we were utterly helpless, you didn't bring anything to the table, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. I'll tell you what you're looking for. It's peace. What you're looking for is Jesus. Could you stand with me, please? I want to invite our prayer team forward. Bow your heads, close your eyes. I told you that I give you the opportunity to make a decision. Some of you need to follow Jesus for the first time this morning. Maybe there's someone here that fits. I don't know. But if God's speaking to you, stop making him wait. Your waiting room time is only gonna increase the longer that you decide, no, I'm not moving another step. I gotta wait for this to happen or that to happen. Now's the time. God's been waiting on you long enough. Now's just the right time. God loved you with all your dysfunction. So we have people up here who love you. And if today's the day that you're supposed to decide to follow Jesus, would you come out of your aisle and come forward? And we want to pray with you. Remember, I said, I don't want you to leave here having not had the opportunity to work with God, to see God move in your life. Do you have the guts? If there's someone on the interior that needs to get out of their way, walk up with them, do whatever it takes, help them feel comfortable. Is there anyone here? I want to follow Jesus. I want to stop making Jesus wait on me. Anyone? Come forward if you're ready. Do you have the guts? Now, I know this is where Christians get a little belabored, but this is why we're here, so that people come to Jesus. So I just feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to continue. This isn't me like, but if you're here, I sense there's gotta be someone here who says, hey, today's the day I'm gonna put my faith in Jesus. Come forward, we wanna pray over you. We wanna celebrate with you. We're your family. We're not gonna point at you. We're gonna celebrate you, anyone. All right, I wanna lower the bar. Is there anyone here who just wants to pray and decide to follow Jesus but not come forward? All right, you're not out of time if you wanna come forward. I see some people shifting. That's why I'm continuing. If you're a believer, pray for those people that are struggling with the courage. Now's the time to make a decision for Christ. If you want to make a decision at your seat, it's okay. It's still works. But we want to have the opportunity to celebrate and help you grow. We have a book we want to give you. But right there at your seat, you can pray and decide, hey, Jesus, I'm done making you wait on me. Would you pray this prayer with me? We can pray it together to help those who are praying it for the first time to feel comfortable. We're gonna admit that we've sinned. We're gonna believe that Jesus died as a perfect sacrifice for us, and we're gonna commit our life to following Jesus. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I admit that I've sinned. I believe that you died as a perfect sacrifice for my sin. And I commit my life to following you. So if you prayed that prayer, I want the opportunity to give you all the resources you need to grow in your faith. Praise God. Do we have a female who can come and pray, please? Sylvie, oh, Cookie's right here. Yep. I wanna, as Cookie's praying with this woman here, this is not just for unbelievers to respond to, because, hey, I'm a believer. And I gotta be honest, this year's been tough. So, if you're struggling a little bit with God's timing, you don't have to leave here today in this frustration. We just read that he sent his son to buy our freedom. And sometimes us believers, we forget our freedom has been bought. We don't have to be enslaved anymore. We don't have to live in anxiety anymore. We have freedom. And so if you need prayer just to kind of embrace that freedom or just to have somebody encourage you and lift you up, we invite you forward. Have the guts to say, hey, I need to respond to God's calling in my life. I don't know what your next step is. I don't know what your next step is, but we're here for you. We want to help you grow. For some, maybe it's baptism. For some, just deciding to read your Bible every day. We want to help you with that. So I want to pray over those who are... Can we just pray over those who are struggling with God's timing? Lord, when we don't know what you're doing or why we're waiting, we can't see the whole picture. It's really hard. So Jesus, I know you can't take away the pain or the discomfort of waiting, but Jesus, I pray that you would embolden our faith, encourage us, refresh us along the journey as we get beat down by waiting. Would you lift us up? Pray in Jesus' name. I just wanted to, can you make sure she has a book? I want to celebrate that Loretta made a decision to follow Jesus this morning. Let's praise God for what he's doing. Yeah, praise God, praise God. We'll be here, we'll be available, but anybody else who wants to pray or anything, I'll be at the back, be available to help. I want to encourage you, you guys can have a seat. I want to encourage you one last time. Make sure you bring some invites with you so that you can invite your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, the cashier at the register. All right, Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.